KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:01, we have mostly cloudy skies. It's 3 degrees below zero. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. Our forecast is calling for it to be sunny and cold today, with a high of 6 above. Most of the KJAN listening area, with the exception of the far west and southwest counties, are under a wind chill advisory until noon. In state news, a Burlington firefighter has been hospitalized after being injured while battling an apartment blaze. Two firefighters were injured on New Year's Day, and one remains at the Great River Medical Center in West Burlington. The firefighter's name and condition have not been released. Fire trucks were dispatched a little before 3:15 a.m. Wednesday to help residents in a six-unit, two-story building. Four occupants were taken to the hospital for treatment and then released. Officials say the fire started in the basement, burned up through the first floor, and damaged the second floor. The cause is under investigation. News time is 8:02.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson True Value for all your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut Street in beautiful downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
An Army Reserve unit in northwest Iowa has been called up for active duty in Afghanistan. A deployment ceremony is scheduled January 18th at the Pocahontas High School for the 415th Military Police Detachment, which handles law and order. The unit was deployed to Afghanistan previously in 2009 and 2010. Officials are blaming the cold weather for a train derailment in northwest Iowa. The Osceola County Sheriff's Office said more than a dozen cars came off the tracks Tuesday morning along Iowa Highway 60 south of Ashton. No injuries were reported and nothing was spilled. Officials blame the cold weather for causing a piece of track to come up. The National Weather Service records show sub-freezing near zero and sub-zero temperatures had chilled the area over the past few days. A sex offender ordered released by the Iowa Supreme Court will stay behind bars for months after pleading guilty to a separate assault charge. Anthony William Geltz pleaded guilty to assaulting an employee at the Cherokee Mental Health Institute and was sentenced to a prison term that lasts until May the 20th. The 20-year-old was placed in the Cherokee Institution in April of 2012 after a court ordered that he be committed for treatment as a sexually violent predator. The Iowa Supreme Court ruled last month that the state could not keep Geltz committed under the law because his sexual abuse offenses came as a juvenile. The justices say they're concerned that Geltz will reoffend if he's released. A study led by researchers at Iowa State University finds pro-social video games have a positive influence on the kids who play them across a host of cultures in the U.S. and seven other countries. Doug Gentile is an ISU psychology professor. He says with more exposure to pro-social media, including video games that portray caring and cooperative behaviors, resulted in higher levels of pro-social behavior.
It is important that parents are paying attention to the games their kids play. The games have an impact well beyond just the time they're playing. That, in fact, we're seeing that kids across time, across years, if they're playing pro-social games, they end up being more helpful and cooperative in the real world 2 years later.
In one segment of the international study, more than 3,000 young people in Singapore were studied in 3rd, 4th, 7th, and 8th grades. Over 2 years, students who played violent games became less likely to show empathy and behave in helpful ways, while those who played pro-social games became more empathetic and helpful.
Parents are in a much more powerful position than they realize. They do need to pay attention to the ratings on the games and choose games that have themes that they want their kids to be practicing.
One of his favorite pro-social video games is called Animal Crossing. Gentile says the character you play in the game has just moved to a new town and has to buy a house and get a job to pay the mortgage.
The way you play the game is you go around the town and you meet your neighbors and they ask you to do little favors for them and so, you know, carry this to some other person. So as you do all these favors, you're helping to build a community and you're doing these things that are helpful and cooperative in your community.
The most popular games tend to be violent, and ISU researchers say violent games can produce harmful effects on players. They note nonviolent games with lots of pro-social content produce positive effects on children. For the study, researchers surveyed young people in Australia, China, Croatia, Germany, Japan, Singapore, Romania, and the United States. Leaders of both political parties are predicting this year's Iowa legislative session will be a short one. House Speaker Craig Paulson, a Republican from Hiawatha, says that's partly because last year's legislature accomplished a lot, passing education reform and a commercial property tax reduction package.
You know, it's going to be a little bit more about first downs than it is necessarily making touchdowns. And we may get a field goal or two, and we may even get a touchdown. But I think it's we're going to spend a fair amount of time making sure that those things we have done, did last year, and also the years preceding, are actually having the effect we were looking for and working the way we expected them to.
Senate Democratic Leader Mike Gronstahl says the bipartisan cooperation of 2013 will evaporate in 2014 because it's an election year.
This next session's probably not going to be as good because we're going to give voters a reason to pick between us and them.
But Paulson, a top Republican in the legislature, doesn't foresee gridlock ahead in Des Moines.
If there is one positive thing that comes out of the mess in Washington, D.C., it is the fact that the average legislative member does not want to be like Congress.
Senate Republican Leader Bill Dix of Shell Rock says voters have expectations.
It's not so much what you did yesterday, it's what have you done lately, and what do you plan to do?
Mark Smith of Marshalltown was just elected House Minority Leader by his fellow Democrats in August.
They say that it's going to be a short session. We'll keep our fingers crossed on that.
The 2014 Iowa legislature is scheduled to convene on Monday, January 13th. Well, bobcat sightings in Iowa have raised a lot of concern in the past year as the small cats were sometimes mistaken for mountain lions. The first bobcat season was held in Iowa in 2007. DNR fur bearer biologist Vince Evelsizer says the return of bobcats to Iowa is a good wildlife story.
The bobcat population is stable to increasing in some areas, and so overall it's been generally a very successful wildlife story for Iowa that all Iowans can be excited about.
The bobcat population is mainly in the southern part of the state. The first season began with a quota for hunters that ended the season once 150 animals had been taken. That quota gradually increased to 450 last season, but Evelsizer says they felt the population was strong enough not to limit the amount of animals taken.
This year, the quota was lifted, but the bag possession limit is still one per fur harvester. But what it did is it gave both trappers and predator hunters a chance to harvest their animal later into the season.
It appears the bobcat season has gone well with the change.
So far, feedback has been positive in that they appreciate that opportunity. Success has been variable around the southern part of the state, with some folks doing well and others not as well as they had hoped to. I think some of that is because of the cold weather that set in earlier this year.
The bobcat population came back without special help from the state. Otters, on the other hand, got some help being reintroduced into Iowa waters. Evelsizer says that the otter limit was reduced from 3 to 2 this year to prevent too many from being taken.
That population is doing fairly well statewide. They're doing the best in the eastern half of the state, especially in the Cedar and Iowa River watersheds.
To find out more about the bobcat and otter seasons, you can go to the Iowa DNR website at www.iowadnr.gov. Taking a look at national news headlines of this hour, all 52 scientists and tourists have now been safely rescued from a research ship that's been stuck in ice in the Antarctic since Christmas Eve. Weather conditions finally cleared today for a helicopter to take the 52 from the Russian ship to an Australian icebreaker. The ship's 22 crew members will stay with their trapped vessel. They're not in any danger of sinking, and they have weeks' worth of supplies. The northeastern United States is expected to be pounded by snow today and tomorrow. Snow began falling overnight in parts of New England and New York. The forecasters say it's likely to get a lot heavier tonight, and temperatures are expected to plummet. Boston is looking at up to 14 inches of snow, and Long Island up to 10 inches with strong wind gusts. And California Supreme Court is expected to decide today whether an attorney living illegally in the U.S. can practice law. Sergio Garcia attended law school and passed the state bar exams, but a 1996 law bars people living in the country illegally from receiving, quote, professional licenses from government agencies or with the use of public funds unless state lawmakers vote otherwise. News time is 8:11.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson True Value for all your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut Street in beautiful downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243 563-4667.
In the funeral announcements, William Bill Kinsey, age 76, of Earl Stewart, died Friday. Funeral services for Bill Kinsey will be held today at 10 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Serena Helensky, age 37, of Anita, died Friday. Memorial services for Serena Helensky will be today at 10:30 at the Anita United Methodist Church. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita has arrangements. Charles Chuck Simpson, age 94, of Ross, died December 30th. Funeral services for Chuck Simpson will be held today at 10:30 at the Ross Calvary United Methodist Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Robert Bigelow, age 86, of Fontenelle, died Sunday. Funeral services for Robert Bigelow will be today at 11 o'clock at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. Margaret Pringnitz, age 76, of Anita, died Friday. Memorial services for Margaret Pringnitz will be today at 2 o'clock at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita. Deanna Jane Miller, age 73, of Stewart and formerly of Menlo, died December 26th. A gathering of friends and family of Deanna Miller will be today from 4 until 6 p.m. at the Beacom Apartment Community Center in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Janet Krause, age 75, of West Des Moines, died Sunday. Funeral services for Janet Krause will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Westminster Presbyterian Church in Des Moines. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Hector Rodriguez, age 29, of Loveland, Colorado, and formerly of Coon Rapids, died Sunday. Funeral services for Hector Rodriguez will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Annunciation Church in Coon Rapids. Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids has arrangements. Savannah Cannon, age 28, of Atlantic and formerly of Afton, died Friday. Memorial services for Savannah Cannon will be tomorrow at 6 p.m. at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Norman Kreese, age 81, of Coon Rapids and formerly of Baird, died Monday in Carroll. Funeral services for Norman Kreese will be Saturday at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Baird. Odie Funeral Home in Baird has arrangements. Charlotte Stewart, age 88, of Avoca, died Monday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. A massive Christian burial service for Charlotte Stewart will be Saturday at 11 a.m. at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Marie Bruce, age 100, of Manila, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Marie Bruce will be Saturday at 2 o'clock at Trinity Lutheran Church in Manila. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has arrangements. Corinne Shuey, age 88, of Avoca, died Saturday. Funeral services for Corinne Shuey will be on Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Shelby Methodist Church. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. And Joyce Stanley, age 81, of Casey, died Tuesday in Des Moines. Funeral services for Joyce Stanley are currently pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. The news was brought to you this morning by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.